call of God in Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days after the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I invite the children to come up. Well, this morning might be all about preparing. How do you prepare to go to school?
Get dressed.
Get dressed. That's a good step in the right direction. Get backpack. What do you have to put in your backpack?
Folders.
Homework.
No.
No homework?
Homework.
You don't get homework. Boy, are you fortunate. Well, what else do you do? You have breakfast? Yeah? Okay. Well, what do you do to get ready for church?
The same thing.
Same thing?
Besides the backpack stuff.
No, you don't bring a backpack? No. I know some people do. They've got their favorite toy in there. Do you put perfume on?
No.
No aftershave or anything like that?
Aftershave.
Nothing like that. Well, you know, in the gospel today, Jesus is in the upper room, in a room with his friends, and one of them was raised from the dead. Who was that? Do you know? His name was Lazarus. Jesus raised him from the dead, and so he's there, and they're partying, because it's a big celebration. Not just of that, but they're looking forward to the Passover, and they're getting ready to do it. And this woman came in, and she starts anointing him with a very expensive perfume. And Judas says, "Don't waste your money on that." Such he wanted some of it himself. But, so you guys don't put perfume on when you go to school or church? Well, what would you think, why would you put perfume on?
I don't know.
You know, most of us don't know. Really. Some people want to smell better. But in Jesus' day, if they anointed people with this particular perfume, it was preparing them for their burial. Now that sounds almost strange, doesn't it? I mean, how would you like to have somebody prepare you for burial? While you're still living. Boy, doesn't sound fun to me. But Jesus told Judas to just leave her alone, because that's what she was doing. This oil was one that they would put on somebody who had died. And then they'd wrap them up and put them in a tomb. And so he was really thrilled that she would use that kind of expensive perfume on him. So why don't we say thank you to Jesus for preparing us for our burial? Thank you, Jesus, for all of those times when we smell things that we didn't know we would enjoy, and sometimes things that we'd rather not smell. Help us to prepare for our day when we come to you. Bless us, Lord, so that all the things that we say and all the things we do will be a preparation for coming to meet you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You don't have to put any perfume on. Okay, I figured you'd appreciate that. Thank you. Almost everybody I've ever met, in fact, I've never met anybody who did not, at some time in their life, experience pain. Some kind of pain. Could be a headache, a toothache, backache, joint ache. Is there anybody here who has never felt anything? Okay, well, then we're all in the same boat. But when we feel pain, we have a choice. And the choice is whether or not we do anything about it. You know, sometimes we just say, well, that's part of, some of us will say, just part of growing old. We're going to have those aches and pains and we'll just put up with them. But sometimes the pain gets enough that we say, well, maybe it's worth going to a doctor. Maybe it's worth getting some medicine for it. Maybe it's worth even going through surgery if we have to, because the pain gets to be so much we can't stand it. And I know of some people who have ignored the pain despite the fact that there were warning signs in the pain. Pain is usually a warning that something is not right. In fact, I know of a couple of people who died because they were having problems with chest pains or arm pains or things like that. And one of our friends died just recently who had these symptoms but refused to go to the doctor because he didn't think it was worth the cost of going to the doctor. And then just last week he had a massive heart attack and died. But you know, the same scenario is true of spiritual pain. Now, the problem with spiritual pain is that sometimes it's hidden. We don't know we're in pain until it gets so bad that we can't function. Spiritual pain comes about because of the same kind of thing that happens in physical pain. Something is not right. And in spiritual pain, it's because there's a separation between us and God. And we may feel depressed, we may feel hurt, we may feel unforgiven or unforgiving. Any of those will create spiritual pain. And it happens so gradually. Now, I know people who have experienced addictions of a number of types. And if you were to ask them when they're in the throes of that addiction, if they had a problem, they would say, no, I don't have a problem. The problem is your problem. It's not mine. Well, in spiritual pain, we have the same thing. The problem isn't me. How could it be? I'm such a perfect person. The problem is you. If you just leave me alone, if you just get out of my life, I'd be fine. But that's the problem. Because the one who is we're trying to get out of our life is God. And that was the problem that has happened again and again and again throughout history. The Old Testament is ripe with times when the people of Israel are in deep trouble. In our first reading, Isaiah is writing to people who have gone through it. Judah has been decimated, the nation. Their beautiful temple has been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. All of their leading people have been taken into exile in Babylon, not once, but twice. And they've been languishing away there for 50 years. And most of them, the generation that were taken, have died off. And the rest of them are saying, we'll never get back. But Isaiah writes to them and says, your problem is a problem with you and God. You have broken the covenant you made with God at Sinai. Return to the Lord your God. In fact, isn't that one of our Lenten sentences we just sang? Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's the call of the prophets, again and again and again, trying to call them back to be with God and to be one with God. Because that kind of spiritual sickness just increases, just like it would with if we had an illness of some kind and we just let it go and let it go, and all at once it's beyond the help of a doctor or medicine or anything else. And they are in that boat and they want to return, and Isaiah says, says God will forgive you and God will return you to be with him. Come, he says, to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. I will bring you home. I will bring about the healing of your souls. One of the examples of spiritual illness we can see in Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. Scrooge is spiritually sick. That's not what they call it, but that's basically the truth. He is spiritually sick. He is miserly. He is mean. He is crotchety. He is everything bad you can think of. And he doesn't know it. Because it's a life that he just kind of accepted as the way he wanted to live. Until he meets the ghosts of Christmas past, in which he sees where his miserly meanness comes from. And then he sees the spirit of Christmas present and realizes he's doing the same thing to others. And the one for the future is scary, because if it keeps going in the way it is, he's really going to be lost. Well, as we think of our spiritual life, as we look at the people in the Bible, the same thing is true. We can get so down that we forget where up is. In our gospel today, Mary was one of those who was probably at the bottom. Spiritually, maybe close to death herself. We don't know. There are lots of legends about who this Mary is. The scriptures don't tell us for sure. Could have been the prostitute. Could have been the woman caught in adultery. Could have been any number of Marys. Mary was a popular name. Whatever the case, we know that she was hurting so bad, and Jesus evidently brought so much healing to her that no matter what it took, she was considering Jesus worth it. Because for her to come into that room at that time would have been unthinkable unless she was invited. And yet she's willing to embarrass herself, she's willing to grovel, she's willing to do anything. But the other thing is, we mentioned the costly nard. Nard was extremely expensive. It took 30 bushels of blossoms to create 1 ounce of that oil. 30 bushels. And for a woman of that day, it would have taken 2.5 years to pay for the blossoms for 1 ounce. Now, if you read the gospel, you realize she didn't just dump a little ounce on him. It was a whole pound. Just multiply that. 16 ounces times 30 bushels. 16 ounces times 2.5 years. That's an extravagance beyond what most of us would want to pay. And yet, when people ask her, well, in fact, Judas said, it's not worth it. Jesus is not worth this. I could use that for better things. But if people ask this Mary, was it worth all of that for this Jesus? Her answer was, yes. Absolutely. The question that faces us this day and each day of our lives is, what's Jesus worth to you? Is Jesus worth your time to go to worship, to study Scripture? Is Jesus worth the effort it takes to be an active Christian? Is Jesus worth anything more than just lip service? Or is Jesus really worth your whole life, body, mind, and spirit? That's what we're called upon to answer today. In our worship, we say that Jesus is worth it. Because you see, Jesus is this loving God who, despite our sin, despite where we've been, He welcomes us home. And yet, there's a part of us that wants to grasp onto the old self. There's a scene in Indiana Jones' Last Crusade. If anybody saw that, in that one, Indiana Jones's father has been looking for the Holy Grail all of his life. His whole career has been spent doing this, and he thinks he's got a hold of it. But the one scene, he is about to fall into a crevice, trying to grasp onto that again. And Indiana Jones says, "Dad, let go. It's not worth it." What Jesus says to us is, let go of your sin. Let go of your anger. Let go of your hurt. Let go of your sin and the sin of others. Forgive and allow God to heal you, because those aren't going to save you. But I'll tell you what will. Come to me, and I will give you the hope, the peace, the joy, the forgiveness that you need. This is my body, he says to you today. This is really my body, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sin, and for life everlasting. That's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind centered on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you.